And you want to talk about this now? With me? I'd like to talk about this never, but deal. He blinked. What? I agree, we shall not speak of this. Oh, wow, cool. I thought you would hold this over my head forever, and oh, I totally am going to do that until the end of time. You just said, I said we wouldn't speak of it. I am keeping this massive, nearly fatal screw-up in reserve until a good opportunity in the future when I need to smack you on the head with it. I wish that wormhole had killed me. One of us nearly dying is enough. Back to the subject. Did it work? Will wormholes across the galaxy disable the authenticators of Elder weapons that pass through? Yes. That hateful network controller was actually excited and eager to stop lowly meat sacks from misusing our creator's weapons. The network controllers haven't gotten the memo that their creators rode off into the sunset and left them here? No, and do not ever even think of informing them. Those controllers are powerful but simple. They aren't capable of much deep thinking. That's a good thing. You don't want wormholes deciding for themselves whether to open or not. Good point. How can we verify all the bullshit you said is true?
Joe, this hurts. After all we've been through, you doubt me?
Because of all we've been through, I have to ask the question. Okay, he sighed. I guess that's fair. We can test it by bringing an Elder weapon through a wormhole on a network that is far from here. If I detect a change to the authenticator module, that will confirm the update is working properly. It will disable our weapons also? That is not what you told— No, dum-dum. That change won't prevent me from using an Elder weapon. I can't usually use weapons myself, you know what I mean. It also won't prevent people, meaning filthy monkeys, from using the toys I gave them. What it will do is block the kitties and spiders from being even minimally successful in clumsily triggering even a handful of their weapons. Outstanding. Can you suggest a wormhole we can visit for a test? Is the one on a route back to Earth? There is, but we have to wait for the update to propagate. We should allow 2 days to be safe. Networks in more distant parts of the galaxy will take longer to receive and process the update. Some of those networks hate you, which is totally unfair, I added to avoid an argument. Is there any possibility they will refuse the update because it was initiated by you? That is something they would do. Bunch of jerks, he muttered. But in this case, they will be thrilled for an opportunity to provide enhanced security. Their jobs are kind of dull, you know. This is the most excitement they've had in, like, forever. If their lives are so dull, maybe you could invite them to karaoke night. I made the remark as a joke, too late realizing to my horror that Skippy would assume I was serious. He gasped. That is a great idea. We know that is a terrible idea. Please forget I said anything. But Joe, this is a golden opportunity for me to showcase my talent to a new audience and, you know, to give a bunch of poor, pathetic losers an opportunity to experience some small amount of joy in their miserable existences. Mostly that. I'm a giver. That's what I do. I give. That's what everyone says about you. I mumbled more bullshit to make him happy. I'm afraid your very generous gift would backfire. Think about it. Right now, the network controllers are reasonably content because they simply don't know anything better is possible. But if you show them that an AI constructed by the Elders could have a life that is so much more, those controllers might spiral down into an endless depression. Yes, they would. Those jerks. I meant that would be a bad thing. Oh, of course. That's what I meant also. I'm glad we agree. Hypothetically, if I performed karaoke only for the controllers who unfairly hate me, would that be unspeakably cruel and unworthy of your greatness? Yes, it would. Crap. I mean, that's what I thought also. Good. So plot a course that takes us through a wormhole that should have received the update by the time we get there. Hey, there's something I need to tell you. Will this be you yelling at me again? Now, this is about both of us being dum-dums. Ha! He snorted. As if you are the only dum-dum here. Not this time. While I was doing nothing out there, I got to thinking, and I might have solved our problem. Your complete lack of singing talent that prevents you from participating in karaoke night? The problem of an outside entity trying to take over that galaxy, you ass. Oh, that problem. Interesting. The Elders went through enormous effort to keep an outsider from gaining access to our galaxy because my creators feared they could not defeat an invasion, but you have a way to fix it. I have, and that is one reason I'm so pissed at you for stranding me in the middle of freaking nowhere. How does you taking a brief vacation relate to finding a solution for... It was not a vacation, and it felt like forever. Listen, you little shithead. When I was out there with nothing to do, I had an idea. You know what frightened me? That big hairy spider I snuck into your spacesuit? It... You what? There was a spider... Are you screwing with me? As far as you know, you are such a... forget it. What scared me wasn't the thought that I would die. It was that I would never be able to tell you my idea. Next time, I am not going anywhere without a marker that can write in a vacuum. That is an odd thing to... When the rescue ship arrived, I was about to slice open the glove of my suit and cut my finger so I could write a note in blood on my suit. Blood wouldn't stick to the suit, you knucklehead. It's made of a nanofiber that also, next time, I'm bringing a notepad to write on. Well, next time, we should send someone else, he muttered. Now, I know you can't wait to tell me, so what is this genius idea that you nearly died to give me? I remembered back to when we had to abandon the Flying Dutchman. Which time? Huh? You abandoned the ship at Newark, and you abandoned it again in the Roach Motel. I'm surprised that ship doesn't have trust issues. Really, I should contact Ship Protective Services and recommend you be declared an unfit captain. Every time some tiny little thing goes wrong, Joe Bishop runs away, and both of those incidents were not tiny little things. I'm talking about the third time, after the Roach Motel. Oh, yes. What about it? The Dutchman was infected with an energy virus. I do recall that, yes. You still can't figure it out? Apparently my ginormous brain is too organized and disciplined to string random shit together the way you do. Energy virus. The outsider is made of energy. We can use the virus to kill it. He stared at me. That is your brilliant idea? Yes. We are both dum-dums. The answer is so obvious. Let me... He chuckled. Let me see if I understand this. You are ready to cut open your suit and sacrifice yourself to write something like, Skippy, you should use an energy virus to kill the outsider, so that after valiant Joe Bishop's frozen corpse was found, we could all rejoice that you had once again saved the galaxy? That's not quite an effort that would have been for nothing since blood wouldn't adhere to the material of that suit. I know that now. I still listen, numbskull. It's a good thing you didn't have time for a stupid and futile gesture, because your idea won't work. It's an energy virus. It drained the energy from a starship, more than one starship. We even used an energy virus to kill a sentinel. It is an energy virus. Aya, and the outsider is made of energy, so it won't work. You need to explain this very slowly. I can change my avatar into Barney the Moronic Dinosaur if you like. I would not like. This makes zero sense. It has to work. It does not. First, it is not actually a virus. I knew that. It acts like a virus. It can infect, multiply, and spread. True, which is why I used the virus analogy. What you need to understand is the virus does not act against energy. Its effect is on the storage medium that contains the energy. It acts against matter, Joe. Like power cells. The pathways in a power cell get tangled up, so energy is bound in there and unable to flow anywhere to do anything useful. I told you all this. I call bullshit on that. Your solution back then was to drain all the power from the ship, the dropships, even our spacesuits, not get the power locked up somewhere it couldn't be used. You drained the power. Yes, I did that to starve the virus. When a power cell is drained of, you know, power... The virus can't use the stored energy to feed itself, can't use that energy to bind pathways in the cells. By draining power from every system, I starved the virus. It couldn't grow, couldn't even maintain its coherence. Well, shit. I had never felt more like the galaxy's biggest idiot. This is, he laughed, so delicious. If you had been able to write a profound message on your suit, your frozen corpse would have been a source of amusement, not salvation. Go ahead, have a good laugh. I deserve it. I want to laugh, but this is just so sad. I had a similar conversation with the engineering team the day before we jumped into the quarantine zone. You did? Yes. They suggested we could use an energy virus against the outsider. Of course, I told them it wouldn't work. Why didn't you tell me about this? Truthfully, I expected you would already understand that an energy virus wasn't a solution. Apparently I greatly overestimated you. Shit. Please do not tell anyone about this. Too late. I've been chatting with several of the engineers. They got a good laugh out of it, so you accomplished something good today. Skippy, I stood up. I'm going into my shower to curl up in a ball and stay there until everyone has forgotten all about this. Too late for that, Joe. I composed a catchy tune called Joey the Dum-Dum Spaceman, and it has already caught on with crews across the task force. This incident will live on forever. The integration training was, as Dave had stated, mostly dull lectures with PowerPoint slides. By the first afternoon, Poindit was bored out of his mind and ready to quit. Unfortunately, the Marines were also bored and desperate for some fun during the afternoon break. Several of them got coffee and went outside, though the day was scorching hot. Sitting on a fallen log under the shade of a tree, they were relaxing until a bug crawled out from under the log and across one guy's boot. He kicked it away, then dumped out his coffee and smacked the cup down over the scurrying insect. "Looks kind of like a scorpion," the lance corporal poked at the insect with a stick as it tried to climb the inside of the cup. "Hey, I bet I can eat this thing." "What? Do not eat that!" Jates grabbed the cup, covering it with the lid of his own beverage container. "Did you idiots not read the briefing package about local wildlife?"
"The stinger is deadly?"
Lance Corporal Evans guessed. "Not to you," Jates admitted. "The venom of this insect is only mildly irritating to humans. But if you eat it, there are proteins in its body that can cause violent seizures, migraine headaches, and temporary blindness."
"Shit." Evans took a step back. "That thing is off the menu, then. What about you, Sirkin? The venom won't bother you at all?"
"The venom can be fatal to my people." Jates lifted the lid and carefully tipped the insect into his open palm. Agitated, the insect twitched its stinger in the air. "This animal we call a Tervixit. It is from our homeworld. They tend to hitchhike everywhere Kristang go."
"Damn. Be careful, Sirkin."
"I will be careful, because unlike you, I am not a dumbass." Jates glared, but not at the corporal. His glare was reserved for the dangerous, invasive insect. "I am also not soft and squishy like humans." His other hand darted in, seizing the tail just below the barbed stinger. While the insect twisted itself, trying to get away, he bit off the stinger and spat it onto the ground, then popped the Tervixit into his mouth. Crunchy on the outside. Tender on the inside. Unfortunately, Poindit not only witnessed the incident, he got it on video. From then on, Jates was the star of the show. He could not get rid of the video crew. They followed him everywhere. And Escott Poindit wanted to be Jates' new best friend. The public relations briefing room of the Ethics and Compliance Office headquarters was rarely used for its stated purpose. Most of the time, it was either empty or as a spare conference room. When it was open to the public, it was invariably jammed with members of the press, for the veteran journalists knew a juicy story was certain to be announced. That day was no exception. 11 days earlier, Kenton Argovian had been killed in what the authorities on Rakanva originally described as suspicious circumstances, but then quickly backtracked to tag the incident as an unfortunate freak accident. In a happy coincidence, the chief investigator of the Rakanva Civilian Police Force won a substantial lottery the very next morning and immediately left on what was described as a long-planned and overdue family holiday that required a luxury cruise starship to delay departure by 3 hours so a shuttle, carrying only the chief investigator, could reach orbit. The apparent blatant assassination of a prominent citizen was an immense scandal, causing much alarm and even more wagering across Jarap the society. The room was primed for excitement when Admiral Utavio Scarandum stepped to the podium, adjusted his formal and rather gaudy uniform, and needlessly tapped a claw on the microphone. "Can everyone hear me?" The response was loud murmurs and groans. Everyone was familiar with the game being played. There were fewer groans than usual, for the crowd had become agitated when they saw the official speaker was the famous Admiral Scarandum. The veteran reporters all knew that day was destined to become legendary. The groans, and even a few openly disgusted mutterings, were from a handful of journalists who had written numerous articles condemning the Admiral, At the time, he was being pursued for arrest for his involvement in the Skipcoin collapse, for the flagrant and egregious accounting irregularities at Skipway, and not, incidentally, for selling secrets to the Maxalts. Scarandum's subsequent exoneration, with the government declaring him a hero for his valiant undercover actions, had been deeply embarrassing to many of the assembled audience, especially those who had wagered heavily on how much time the scoundrel Scarandum would spend in prison. As you might have heard, a Jarapha citizen named... Scarandum pretended to check his notes. Kenton Argovian was recently killed on Rakonva under what at first were considered suspicious circumstances. It has been widely publicized that for several years Argovian has been a subject of interest by the Office of Special Inquiries, and that it is also widely known that the Inquisitors have been unable to find conclusive evidence of Argovian's alleged serious criminal activities. It is because the Inquisitors have been frustrated, some might say even embarrassed, he couldn't resist a dig at the rival office, that some of the public have spread vicious and unfounded rumors that the Inquisitors were responsible for Mr. Argovian's unfortunate death, which is a serious and even damaging accusation. To assure the public that the incident will be investigated in a thorough, independent, and unbiased manner, the Inquisitors requested the Ethics and Compliance Office to review the incident. Accordingly, I personally traveled to Rakonva to review all aspects of the case on site. He did not bother to mention that he also took the opportunity to visit the infamous Taj Mahal Casino there, nor did he relate the day he spent racing across the sands in a dune buggy. Such details were irrelevant. The investigation was exhaustive, he said truthfully, for he had stayed up very late every night at the casino. And I can now state with full confidence that the incident was not an accident. The room collectively gasped in shock. This was a case of accidental negligence, he continued. Please, please, he raised both claws to calm the excited crowd. If you allow me to announce my findings, you will understand how I reached my conclusions. The roar died to a sullen, eager silence, the journalists all poised to report the story as soon as the Admiral got to the freaking point. The boat was ordered to be delivered from off-world as an honest mistake, the part number for speedboat and dune buggy being only two numbers apart. Once it was landed dirtside, the boat was loaded on a sling underneath a vertical lift cargo aircraft, which had filed a flight plan to take it over Mr. Argovian's estate, that being a regularly traveled commercial flight path. The aircraft's loadmaster supervised the loading, including the use of proper restraining straps to secure it below the aircraft. The straps had been inspected for integrity and had 10 times the load capacity needed, so there was a substantial safety factor. All of the proper written procedures were followed. However, he paused to scan the room. Video clearly shows that once the straps were in place, the loadmaster failed to tug on them and say, "Yeah, that's not going anywhere." All the men in the room nodded to each other, murmuring their understanding at what had caused the straps to fail. A female journalist raised a claw.
Admiral Scarandum, are you telling us the straps failed because someone failed to follow a silly ritual?
He shrugged. It's a thing. Another round of nods and murmurs of agreement by the men in the room.
It's a stupid thing, she insisted.
Well, it's a guy thing, so... I thought that went well. Scarandum tugged the collar of his tight, scratchy formal uniform, unfastening the heavy jacket. What do you think, Kinsta? The clerk, who was only allowed to wear a small badge as evidence of the Office of Special Inquiries even acknowledged his employment there, displayed his usual frown. I think no one in the briefing room buys into your story.
Ah, Kinsta, Scarandum sighed, as he too often had to do with the other officer.
That is the point. The Inquisitors want everyone to know they got Argovian one way or another. Got him in a way no one can prove.
Sir, I thought once I joined the Inquisitors I would be done with involvement in sleazy activities.
Oh! The Admiral laughed. You have no idea who your other employers truly are. I could tell you stories that would...
Sir, he begged, please don't. My remaining illusions of innocence are the only things that make me drag myself out of bed in the morning.
While I did take a shower to wash off the funk from being wrapped in a plastic bag for 2 hours, I did not hide in my cabin. That would be a childish and cowardly thing to do. Besides, I was hungry. On the way to the galley, nodding to acknowledge the crew and pretending I didn't see their amused smiles, I stopped and pulled out my phone. Skippy, we're jumping toward another wormhole? Yes, I set a course back to Jaguar like you requested. Good. Also, we should visit a Maxalt's relay station along the way. He lowered his voice, though he was speaking into my earpiece. Being able to ransack the data banks of a Kitty relay station is a secret, Joe. We can't hit up relays too often, or the Kitties will know we're reading their messages. We'll park the task force a couple light years away and just go quick in and out with Valkyrie. No one else will know what we're really doing there. Make sure you remember to mess with the antenna aiming motor. No way will I forget to do that. It is driving the rotten Kitties absolutely crazy trying to understand why I'm doing that. You realize the antenna thing makes the ability to hack into their relay stations less valuable to us, right? The Maxalts assume I am somehow using the antennas to access their message traffic, so they are cutting back on the volume of sensitive traffic they route through relays. Yeah, I know that. They aren't allowing any info about their dealings with the outsider to route through relay stations anyway. I'm looking for background intel. Okay, you have a good point. Stop messing with the antennas. Whenever we get back to Earth, notify DEFCOM that your attempts to infiltrate relay stations through the antennas have been a failure and you're halting further testing. The UNDIC communications people will have no clue what I'm talking about. Right. So in your message, also say it was a stupid idea in the first place, and that the next time CECOM wants to waste your time with an idiotic plan, they can forget about it. Oh, so when the Maxalts inevitably hear about my message, they will find it totally believable? You know it. As long as everyone understands, the failure is in no way my fault. It's great to hear you're laser-focused on what is truly important. Oh, shut up. We went through 2 wormholes on 2 different networks, and both of the Elder weapons Valkyrie carried received updates to their firmware of their authentication systems. Skippy verified that update would be certain to render such weapons usable to the senior species, and neither of those unauthorized users would be aware anything had happened. Now, the only Elder weapon we had to worry about was the Outsider's single remaining Starbreaker. Plus, you know, any other horrific thing our newest enemy was planning to do. Chapter 28. Reed appeared in my office doorway, holding on to the bulkhead to stop her momentum, and out of breath, like she had run from the bridge. Sir, she paused for a breath. The courier ship Lightning just arrived with a distress call from Paradise. She had taken time for another breath, so I asked, the distress call was directed at us? That would be incredible. It made no sense. Valkyrie was back at Jaguar for minor repairs, refueling, and... okay, because I wanted to talk with my family again. Why would the government of the world the Ruhar called Gitanu ask for our help? If we weren't at Jaguar, we might not have received the call for a week or more. I should have said the government on Paradise sent out a general distress call, and the Lightning brought it here. That makes more sense. Jaguar is the closest UN base. I relaxed a bit. Whatever the issue was, the Ruhar or their patrons, the Giraffe, that could handle it. Except why was Reed so worked up? What's the... The hamsters detected a single Maxalt's warship emerging from jump near the star there. The ship matched the configuration of that cruiser we tracked to the edge of the galaxy after the outsider tried to steal Dogzilla. We never did find that ship, sir. Oh, shit. Before the hamster fleet could respond, the intruder ship sent a message. It's the outsider. It has given the Ruhar 6 days to evac the planet. Then it plans to bomb the star. What the fuck? The distress call originated 2 days ago, sir. We're now 54 hours into the 6-day deadline. 6 Paradise days? The day on Paradise was different from the 24 hours on Earth, so a day wasn't... The outsider expressed the deadline in human standard time increments. Ah, I understood. 144 hours, then. That's convenient. Too convenient. The outsider arrives at a time when a UN courier ship just happens to be there? It has to be a trap, sir. For us. What I wanted to say was, you think? Instead, I asked, there are what, 200,000 humans on Paradise now? 187,000, mostly on the southern continent. Close enough to 200.
The Ruhar had offered half of the continent of Lemuria as a preserve for humans, and many people had been tempted to move there from Earth. Some colonists were simply weary of the constant struggle and strife of living on humanity's fragile homeworld. Some were attracted by the opportunity for a fresh start. Some were enticed by the offer of free transportation and money to cover 2 years of living expenses, and others moved to join family and friends already living there. What the Ruhar got from the deal were human shields, yes, but also stronger overall ties to humanity and a boost to the planet's economy. A squadron of UN Navy ships visiting every couple of months also was good for business, and for our Navy it was an easy refueling stop. Other than Earth and Jaguar, Paradise was a logical target if the Outsider's goal was to kill humans. We knew that was not its goal. Reed was correct. Our enemy had to be setting a trap for us. For Skippy. Crap, it had to know we would respond to its threat, but it had to know we would understand the setup was a trap, so what was its goal? What was it hoping to accomplish? This makes no sense. I leaned back my chair to stare at the ceiling. If the Outsider triggers its Starbreaker at Paradise, we'll be free to bring Bubba hunting with us. Maybe, maybe not, Reed shrugged. The UN Security Council member governments won't like allowing Earth's Guardian Sentinel to leave the solar system. The Outsider might be counting on Task Force Black not being able to include Bubba in our operations. All I did was give her a curt nod. She hadn't said anything new. I had argued with the Joint Chiefs about the possibility of using Bubba as a mobile strike platform rather than for a static defense role it was never designed for. Sir, we don't have to handle this. The Ruhar are Jarapta clients. Let the Beatles take point. The Outsider isn't there because of the hamster population. I noted the obvious. Then Admiral Chatterjee can send the Seventh Fleet. If the Outsider discovers the merry band of pirates isn't taking the bait, it might just go away. You're willing to gamble almost 200,000 human lives and millions of Ruhar? Reed, the Outsider is humanity's responsibility. We can't outsource this job to the Beatles. And no offense to the Seventh Fleet, but their ships can't do much against an energy being from beyond the galaxy. We haven't been able to do much about the Outsider either, sir. I clutched my chest. That hurts, Fireball. This is an obvious trap. The Outsider has to know we will see that. So what is its game plan? So far, it hasn't shown any sign of being a sophisticated actor. Everything it has done has been pretty much direct. It lured us into the quarantine zone. Yeah, but that was clumsy. The fight turned into a straight stealth starship combat scenario. We came close to losing that fight, sir. The point is, we didn't. It had every advantage. It chose the field of battle, it shaped the battle space before we arrived, it could have chosen to disengage. Still, it lost. The quarantine zone was its best opportunity, and it failed. We haven't seen any indication that it's capable of doing sneaky shit. Not like we do. I grinned. Then my smile faded. If this is anything other than what it appears, then the Outsider is getting advice from its local partners. The Maxulks? Yeah, those assholes. They never learn. They don't want to learn, sir. All they want is to maintain the comforting illusion that they are destined to rule the galaxy. I have bad news for them about that. They won't listen to you or anyone. That's their loss. Skippy. Yes. He appeared immediately. You heard all that? I know basically what's going on. Please tell me you are not planning to take the ship into another obvious trap. You convinced me to jump into the last. Joe, it is just sad that you are trying to deflect the blame. You are the commander. The buck stops with you. It's not my fault if you listen to terrible advice. Arguing with him wasn't going to get me anywhere. Reed, prepare the ship for departure. We'll hopefully be going with the Seventh Fleet, but we'll go alone if necessary. She stiffened, knowing I had dismissed her concerns, and dismissed her also. We can be ready to jump away in 2 hours. Skippy, how fast will a least time course to Paradise get us there? With a wormhole shortcut, travel time will be anywhere from 57 to 62 hours. The variable is the alignment of the wormhole I have to screw with, depending on our departure time. The other issue is assuming the Seventh Fleet is coming with us. That will slow us down considerably. That's cutting it close. The Seventh Fleet can't get spun up that quickly, even if Chatterjee leaves behind his support ships. The entire fleet is undergoing refueling and resupply, sir, Reed noted. I don't see how they could move out in less than a full day. I'll talk with Chatterjee. Damn. 24 hours before departure, 62 hours of flight time. That gets us to Paradise only 4 hours before the deadline. That doesn't give us much time for recon, and... I had a thought. Skippy, show me a star chart that covers Jaguar and Paradise, please. With the wormhole networks also. I can't imagine why you would need... Just do it. Fine. The holographic chart floated in the air above my desk. Okay, now show me the shortcut. A yellow line appeared between wormhole ends that were not normally able to connect. The chart matched the picture in my memory. Only two wormholes provided access to Paradise. These two wormholes. I pointed to the dots on either side of the icon for the planet. Can you create a shortcut between them also? You want two shortcuts? Listen, numbskull, a second shortcut between those two will only delay our arrival at yes or no. Ah, yes. Yes, Joe, I can do a whole lot of stupid things. Generally, the point is to avoid doing anything stupid, but you, if we take the second shortcut, how does that affect our arrival time? It will add another 81 to 89 minutes to our travel time. That leaves only 2 hours then to recon, plan, and execute. That is not nearly enough time for... Actually, that is better than what I expected. Better than the enemy expected also, I'll bet. This was set up knowing Valkyrie was a Jaguar. The later we arrive, the more confident it will be that we rushed into battle without any time to prepare. We won't have any time to prepare for the fight against the outsider, dum-dum. You're looking at this all wrong, Skippy. This situation isn't what you think. I don't see this as a threat. I see this as an opportunity to eliminate a threat. I see this as you finally falling into a delusional delirium and shut up for a minute, will you? I need to ask you a question. The Seventh Fleet performed a miracle and was ready to move out in only 18 hours, though that meant we had to leave 4 ships behind. Skippy also performed a miracle, routing us through 2 wormhole shortcuts and retuning not only the jump drive of Valkyrie, but also of the 2 Seventh Fleet star carriers. The result was we arrived near the Paradise star system with 13 hours to spare before the deadline. As usual, we first jumped in several light hours from a star to get a look at what the potential battle space looked like recently. By recent, I mean we were viewing photons from 9 hours ago. We saw a lot of activity in orbit, panicked Ruhar civilians being pulled into orbit by dropships, and major social disruptions on the surface. We couldn't do anything about that, and we already had enough shit to worry about. My greatest concern was if I had guessed wrong, millions would die on Paradise, and that would be the best scenario. Worst case would be the loss of Valkyrie, the Seventh Fleet, and Skippy being captured or even killed. If that was possible. Shit. I often accuse Skippy of being blindly overconfident. Was I guilty of the same fatal flaw? Earlier in my career, I lacked confidence in myself to the point where Smythe had to give me a pep talk several times. No way would young Joe Bishop have done anything like the plan I had thrown together for Paradise. Hey, I wasn't old yet. I just wasn't the young dumbass I used to be. It was too late to second-guess myself. We were committed. Valkyrie made 3 short jumps, the last emerging in local spacetime 20 light seconds from the last known location of the outsider's ship. That area was uncomfortably close to the star, which could become a problem if the Starbreaker weapon was triggered. More of a problem for the inhabitants of Paradise than for a properly shielded starship, but I couldn't ignore the risk. We jumped into the system alone, without the Seventh Fleet. One stealthy starship, aided by the extreme awesomeness of an elder AI, had a much better chance of arriving unnoticed than if 34 warships jumped in with us. We had work to do. As was typical, when I said we, I meant Skippy had work to do. Before we jumped, he had created 34 micro-wormholes, with one end of each tiny space-time rip in the nose cone of a drone, and the other ends clustered around our stealth field generators. Those generators were not wrapping a field around Valkyrie to conceal our battlecruiser. The effect was being channeled into and through the micro-wormholes, each of which were on the razor's edge of collapse from the energy surging through them. Skippy had become more skilled at keeping the tiny space-time tunnels open, but even he couldn't stretch the laws of physics beyond a certain point. "How's it going, Skippy?" I asked as we all watched a clock on the display counting down. "Fine. I'd appreciate a bit more detail on the nominal. Okay, if you monkeys could stop dawdling and get on with it, that would be great. The timing on this has to be precise, Skippy. The timing is inconvenient, knucklehead. This whole phase of the op requires ships flown by monkeys to make precise jumps. What are the odds that will... We will find out in 3, 2, 1, showtime. 33 ships jumped inside their designated stealth bubbles. The other ship didn't miss its jump target. It hadn't jumped at all. At the last second, its navigation system lacked confidence in the precision of the virtual coils and scrubbed the jump. That was a good call, though it meant we had one less weapons platform in the fight.
Whew!
Skippy imitated, letting out a breath. That was nerve-wracking. It worked, barely, thanks to my continued awesomeness. He wasn't boasting about that, though he complained about the difficulty of human ships jumping with any reasonable level of accuracy. He had actually provided almost real-time guidance through the Elder Comms nodes that were aboard Valkyrie and battleship Mont Blanc, flagship of the 7th Fleet. Skippy, you can release the micro-wormholes when you sense those ships have their own effective stealth shields. The point of us projecting stealth effects around the jump points had been to conceal the arrival of the 7th Fleet. The Outsider, assuming it was relying on the sensors of a Maxalt's cruiser, should have no idea that Valkyrie had friends to back us up. And done. Wow, I'm glad that is over. Skippy shuddered. Now I need a nap. No rest for the weary yet, sorry. Fireball jump option alpha, please. We jumped, a short jump, less than 8 seconds away from the hidden 7th Fleet and closer to the star.
Hey, like the comm node connection is stable, Bilby reported.
This is cool working with other ships. I don't get to do this much. We'll try to arrange more playdates for you in the future. You're tied into the fleet's targeting systems?
Affirmativo, dude.
Outstanding. Initiate active sensor sweep, please. 60-degree cone forward. What I meant was I didn't want our sensor pulses radiating backward toward the stealth 7th Fleet. The Starbreaker had to be launched near a star to be effective, and the weapon would create a massive solar flare from where it detonated. So we had positioned Valkyrie between the star and the planet Paradise. The ship carrying the Starbreaker should be nearby. Unless it was hanging out a full light minute away, laughing its ass off at us and planning to jump close to the star at the last moment. Hey, in space combat against stealth ships, you have to risk using active sensors to burn through the... Alarms blared.
We are caught in a damping field, Gasquet warned.
Or, in space combat against stealth ships, you can wait for the enemy to announce their presence.
What is the source of the... Dude, it's like all around us. Bilby was disgusted. There must be a minefield of damping drones here.
Interesting, I said slowly, with a grin. What? Reed looked at me as if I was mad. This isn't just the Outsider. This is a team effort. It's working with the Maxalts, she guessed. Or no one is working with anyone else. I suspect we have a single actor here.
Sir?
This whole setup was bullshit from the start. It made no sense for the Outsider to burn its last Starbreaker here.
It's using the weapon as a trap, she insisted.
This is definitely a trap, I agreed. Just not by the Outsider. It outsourced the job. Or its local partner just got ambitious.
The Maxalts are doing this?
That has been my opinion since we heard about the distress call. Her eyes grew wide, and she was hurt. She wanted to know when I had planned to inform her of what I knew or suspected. Instead of explaining, I planned to show her and the crew. And everyone.
Fireball, let's... Valkyrie, you are trapped this time.
The gruff growl of a Maxalts came through the speakers as a starship dropped stealth. Holy shit. The display showed the thing was less than 2 light seconds away from us. It had hardly moved from its original location, keeping position as Paradise swung around the star. Reflexively, I tapped an icon on the armrest as the voice continued.
I would offer you an option to surrender, but we both know you are too foolish to accept. Good riddance to an annoying problem. Launch weapons!
Though we were viewing events with a brief time lag, that hardly mattered. The Maxalt ship was firing Elder weapons at us, and not by our clumsy method of pushing them out of docking bays. The Kiddies had dedicated ships for transporting and deploying Elder weapons. Those ships were built with large bore railguns running along the forward half of the hull. It was a much better method for deploying strategic weapons. There were only 2 issues with launching Elder horror devices. The Maxalts had a marginal, unreliable capability for disarming the things, but they couldn't aim them at all.
The procedure for firing Elder weapons was similar to the early decades of submarine warfare when torpedoes had no internal targeting systems. The Maxalt ship had to point its bow toward the target. That's why it had hardly moved over the past 3 days. The other issue with deploying Elder weapons is they are not only heavy, they have a mechanism that actively resists changes to their momentum. To get the massive thing moving along a railgun tube takes a lot of force, enough that even a ship dedicated as a strategic platform can only fire two of them at a time. The Maxalts understood that to be assured of at least one weapon detonating, they had to fire multiple of them at us. And while they are shooting, the ship can't move. Well, you know what can move really fast? Maser beams. The coolest thing about a directed energy weapon like a maser beam is they are coherent photons that travel at the speed of light. Unless an enemy has a faster-than-light sensor capability, such as the Elder comm nodes used by the UN Navy, the first notice the enemy has of incoming maser beams is when they strike the shields. When 33 warships of the 7th Fleet plus Valkyrie all fire maser cannon broadsides at an unmoving target less than 2 light seconds away, with Bilby coordinating the target in real time, the enemy's shields tend to be less effective than the manufacturer claimed. When multiple beams from each of 34 ships all strike not only the same ship, but within a circle less than a centimeter across, those masers burn through the energy shield like it is made of butter. Then they churn the armor plating into plasma, which is a problem since the erupting plasma actually interferes with beams following up on the initial broadside. By that time, the AI that ran the ship and decided not to wait for orders from its biological masters, and in a snap, oh fuck this decision, fired thrusters on emergency to move the ship out of the way of the next blast of maser bolts. Which might have been marginally successful if Skippy hadn't predicted exactly how the control AI of a Maxalt's Red Section strategic strike cruiser would react to the complete loss of an energy shield. Since Skippy did that particular feat of magnificence, the cruiser blundered directly into the path of 96 railgun darts. Result? Well, you know. The cruiser disappeared in a brilliant flash of light when darts impacted the fully charged drive capacitors. Crap! Skippy groaned. What? For a moment, my confidence slipped. Now we won't have an opportunity to engage in snarky repartee with the kitty over there. That kitty is now everywhere, and it was going to be a boring conversation anyway. Well, that is a good point. We gave it a few seconds to monologue at us, and the best it could do was good riddance. Red Section should hire Skippy's public relations and crisis management associates to coach them on how to truly intimidate a foe. Wow, Joe, that is a great idea. That is a terrible idea. Do not help the freaking kiddies, please. Bilby, connect me to Admiral Schultz, please.
General Bishop!
The 7th Fleet leader appeared in the holographic display looking like he had seen a ghost.
Congratulations on an impressive victory.
This is a victory.
Yes, absolutely. Could you task a couple of your escort ships to fetch the Elder weapons the enemy launched? Don't worry, they're inert. Schultz pointed to someone out of view, then,
you know for certain they are inert?
Not exactly inert. I should have said they are saved. Skippy remotely disabled them. I repeated the lie the beer can and I had agreed on, and it really was not a lie. A deception, but not an outright lie. Skippy had remotely disabled the things.
The enemy launched 14 Elder weapons and all of them are safed?
Are you not trusting the awesomeness? Skippy demanded. Schultz wasn't intimidated.
I am, of course, trusting the awesomeness, Mr. Skippy. What I would like is for General Bishop to explain what the hell just happened here.
I would appreciate that also. Reed grimaced at me. That's fair. The outsider either is working with the kiddies here, or this was a Maxalt's initiative all along. That Starbreaker weapon the outsider has is mostly useless against a ship like Valkyrie, and it knows it can't beat us in a stand-up fight. That's why it lured us into the quarantine zone, where it had prepared the battle space to give it an edge over us. That still didn't work. I was confident that even if the outsider was who lured us here, it wasn't the actual threat. That left the kiddies. They could try ambushing us with a massive fleet, but the sensors we hit in this system years ago would have detected a large number of ships jumping in, no matter how good the Maxalts are at stealth. The only possibility remaining was a small group of Maxalt's ships deploying their strategic weapons against us, and I wasn't concerned about that because Skippy can mess with the trigger mechanisms of Elder weapons remotely.
Schultz had a vein throbbing on his right temple. For some reason, that happens with a lot of senior officers I deal with.
When did you plan to reveal that information to DEFCOM?
The anniversary of Columbus Day is coming up. I was saving it as a surprise. Joe even bought a very nice greeting card, Skippy chirped. He hasn't signed it yet, despite me reminding him every anyway. Now you know, and now the Maxalts know, since they certainly must have another ship around here somewhere to watch the festivities. We also now have 14 more Elder weapons, or will once your ships catch them. On the display, I saw he had already dispatched 8 destroyers. The inert weapons were coasting along together. They would be easy to intercept. Schultz didn't know what to say. He was a 2-star admiral, I was a 2-star general, and I had more time in grade. Also, DEFCOM standing orders allowed the commander of the special mission group to temporarily requisition almost every military asset controlled by the United Nations. Plus, as he just mentioned, we had kicked ass. You can argue with success, but it's not easy to do. The guy stared at me until it just got awkward. We're gonna jump away, in case the outsider is hanging around here. I don't want to make Valkyrie an easy target. We will remain within communications range.
Other than the units tasked to recover the Elder weapons, does my force need to remain here?
No, I would jump away most of your force. Those Elder weapons are a priority.
I'll leave a cruiser squadron as a guard force until the weapons are secured. We will debrief at the primary rendezvous point?
Yes. Bishop out. Jamming a thumb down on the button to cut off the audio from my end, I turned to read. Jump option Charlie.
Chapter 29. We jumped. That first jump was a distance of only 6 light minutes just to clear the battle space. All I intended to do was remain close enough to provide support if someone tried to interfere with Schultz's destroyers while they ran out to the store for more party favors. That reminded me of something important. Skippy, could you provide special handling instructions for those weapons? The UN Navy has procedures for the proper handling of strategic weapons, Joe.
Yes, but there is nothing proper about this situation. Destroyer crews are not usually trained to work with strategic weapons, and they don't have the special equipment for securing them in a docking bay.
Good point. I will throw together a helpful YouTube video showing how to take aboard and secure a variety of Elder weapons, and make sure no knucklehead out there tries to hold them in a docking cradle with duct tape, unlike someone I know.
That was one time, and we were in a hurry.
It took forever to remove the tape residue from those weapons, he sniffed. Okay, done. Video has been provided and receipt acknowledged. Now all we can do is wait. I estimate the recovery ships will need 52 minutes before they can jump to the rendezvous point.
Sir? Reed leaned toward me. May I speak with you in my office?
Her timing wasn't great. I was reluctant to leave the bridge until the entire 7th Fleet had jumped away safely. But her office was just outside the bridge door, and she trusted her people to handle the ship and any situation for a short time.
Yes.
She stood up.
Exo, you have the con. I know what you're going to say, and you're right, I admitted as I sat in the chair across from hers in what used to be my office. Used to be. That was the key word. The ship was hers now. I had to respect that, and I did. She clearly didn't believe that.
I had a good reason for not reading you into my plan. If this went sideways, one of us needed to be mentally prepared to deal with the disaster. She nodded. Her eyes were still cold.
Jennifer. Sims, she added, in case there was another Jennifer we both knew. Gave me some advice when she left Valkyrie. A lot of advice. And one thing in particular. She told me how to take responsibility for my own career growth because developing subordinates is not one of your strengths.
That is not... My hot reaction was instant, and as the words left my mouth, I realized, possibly unfair.
Reed, I'm listening. I meant that. Truly listening, not just waiting for her to finish so I could speak what was on my mind.
You want to hear this, sir?
It sounds like I need to hear it. Before you ask, you have permission to speak freely. I hope you understand that you never have permission to not speak freely with me.
Sims was honored to be a pirate, and she enjoyed serving with you. Mostly. A lot of it sucked.
Still does. I flashed a tight grin, then nodded for her to continue. She didn't need me making jokes. She needed me to shut my mouth and let her talk. She learned something every day, mostly from you. Again, I just nodded. She would have learned more if you had included her in important decisions. You have a pattern of concealing the truth from your subordinates, sir. Not including her in the process of your decision-making deprived her of understanding how vital command decisions should be made. The Air Force tells me I can learn that skill from training. That's bullshit. Out here, there isn't any formal training that can prepare you to handle the unexpected. You have to do it, or have seen it done. Sims felt she grew more as a leader during the short time she had command of the Constellation than in all the years she served under you. Is this the time for me to speak? If you want, sir. I meant if there's anything else I need to hear, anything that might help me become a better and more effective leader, I want to hear it. It's not you, sir. The problem is you're not developing anyone to take over from you. Even a team stacked with all-stars needs someone ready to come off the bench when needed. When you were lost on the other side of that wormhole, I took over, and I realized right then I was not prepared. You did an outstanding job, Reed. I couldn't have done any better. I don't know if I would have figured out what had happened. Did you? Well, yes, but that's because I saw the Lobster Nebula, and remembered the only other time I saw it was after a wormhole shortcut. If it was you lost and me aboard Valkyrie, I don't know that I would have understood what happened in time. To me, that incident shows you are ready. Today's incident shows I am not. I'm woefully unprepared. If you weren't in command when we received the distress call, I would not have taken Valkyrie there. Not into another ambush. If we hadn't come here, nothing would have happened. The deadline would have expired and the Maxalts would have quietly slipped away. That, I paused to think for a moment, might actually have been a better result. The Maxalts would be revealed as unable to... No, that's only in hindsight because we know the kiddies were here instead of the outsider. Still, either way, no one would have bombed the star. Paradise was never in danger, so if Valkyrie never responded to the distress call, there wouldn't have been any negative consequences for us. That is hindsight also, sir. I'm not following your logic. From the viewpoint of the Ruhar and the humans on Paradise, if we hadn't responded, had done nothing to protect them, relations between the Ruhar and humans would have been set back seriously. Potential allies would question whether the UN will be able or even willing to assist in any situation where we have to put our assets at risk. You didn't know Paradise wasn't under threat. I see your point, and I see you're right, damn it. Well, not damn it that you're right, I hasten to add, that I didn't consider the political aspect. DEFCOM advises that a senior leader must always consider the political aspects of a decision, especially when it affects allies. Sir, this situation only worked in our favor because you were right. And because the crews of Valkyrie and the Seventh Fleet performed outstandingly. Thank you. She gave me a tight smile, one that I read as do not try to change the subject. This latest triumph, she said the word with reluctance, was only possible because you knew a secret. That Skippy can remotely disable Elder weapons. If you had died on the other end of that wormhole, who would have that critical information? Skippy. Only Skippy? It's kind of a new thing. That doesn't explain why you didn't inform me. Sir, you appointed me as the deputy commander of the special mission group. I don't hold the rank, for that's a separate issue. I can't effectively do my job unless I know what you know. Reed, you don't want to know a lot of... I tapped my head. What's in here? I don't want to know a lot of things, sir. That's called being in the military. It's my job. I'm supposed to ask myself whether I'm doing everything I can to assure the success of the mission. Right now, I'm doing the only thing I can do. Asking you to read me in on information I need to know. That is complicated. Everything we do out here is complicated. I can't argue with that. Sir, did you read Sims in on secrets no one else knew? Yes, I did, I said slowly. Sometimes also Smythe. Do Frey and I have all that knowledge now, sir? Not all of it. Reed, you have to understand, it's not just an OPSEC issue. There are things I wish I didn't know. I don't want to burden anyone else with that shit. She clenched her jaw, looked down at the desk, then... I didn't join the military to be protected from scary monsters, sir. I came out here to fight them.
When something bad happens, do you tell your boys that everything will be all right?
Yes, of course.
I am not a child. I don't need to be protected. I don't want it. You can't make that decision for me.
Wow, she was pissed. She was also 100% right. Well, some of the secrets I know are no longer relevant. Their time has passed. Others I keep because if the knowledge became widespread, it could damage our security. In some cases, cause severe damage.
All I am asking is to know anything that might be actionable now in this fight. The knowledge that Skippy can render Elder weapons inert is actionable, or inactionable. Without that information, I would not have acted.
Fireball, I hear you.
Sir, you are a great leader. The best. You are also one person. Skippy can't be replaced.
She automatically glanced at the ceiling, expecting him to appear. Wisely, he kept silent.
Humanity does need a backup for you, as much as we can find one.
You want to be a full partner on this team?
It doesn't have to be me, sir. You do need to trust someone.
If I didn't trust your experience and judgment, you wouldn't be in command of Valkyrie. All right. There is something you need to understand. You will be breaking the chain of command, and I have to know if you're okay with that. You'll hear secrets the Joint Chiefs don't know, and they can't ever know.
Our ComSec is too easily hacked, she nodded.
It's not just that. The Chiefs are legally bound to inform the politicians they serve. Some of what I know, well, I shrugged. That knowledge could tempt political leaders into making foolish decisions. Politicians are not great at sacrificing short-term gains for long-term results. I need to hear you promise that you won't reveal my secrets, even if you receive a direct order to do so.
That is complicated, sir.
That is why some secrets I keep to myself. There might be a partial solution. Skippy?
Yes, Joe, he appeared. What's up?
Don't pretend you haven't been listening.
I can neither confirm nor deny any such...
Samantha Reed needs to be granted full citizenship in the Glorious People's Republic. As president of Skippistan, I hereby grant her all the rights and privileges associated with...
Whoa! Slow your roll there, Joe. Citizenship is expensive. You can't...
Replay the audio if you want. Did it sound like I was asking a question or making a statement?
The second one. You can't just... You made me president.
Well, I didn't think you would be so...
The words you are looking for had better be bold and decisive.
Sir?
Reed cocked her head.
I'm not ungrateful for your generous offer, but what does this do for us?
I will formally request you to be seconded to the armed forces of Skippistan.
The UN Navy won't go for...
The Navy doesn't have to. You're an officer of the United States Air Force serving in the UNN. The Air Force will be thrilled to have one of their own in such a senior position. You know your branch isn't happy about this blue-to-black shit. It will also mean that in certain sensitive operational matters, you report to me. Not to the Joint Chiefs.
That's not how secondary service works, sir.
It's not how it used to work. The rules got changed for my situation about a decade ago. DEFCOM, or it was still UNEF back then, didn't like giving up control. They didn't like having deniability if I screwed up. She pursed her lips.
We wait for the Air Force to sign whatever paperwork is needed for the transfer?
We could, but I already discussed this possibility with General Alvarez after we stood up the special mission group again. It was his suggestion. That prompted a seriously raised eyebrow.
When did you plan to tell me about that?
I'm telling you now.
My agreement with Alvarez was I could activate the offer at any time.
The White House agreed. Listen, I know this feels like people have been making deals about your career behind your back, but
it doesn't just feel like that, sir.
It's your choice.
The Chief of the Air Force and the President have signed off on this, and I can refuse?
Okay, good point, but no one needs to know I made the offer.
Shit, she groaned. This means I can hear the info I need to do my job?
I promise, I told her, and it was only a tiny little lie.
Fine, I accept. Do I, have to change uniforms?
Ooh, Skippy gasped. That is a great idea. I have never designed an Air Force uniform. I will get right to work on...
No, that is a terrible idea.
But
you switched my ceremonial sword for a banana.
Yes, and everyone got a good laugh out of it. They were laughing at me.
Oh, Get over yourself, Joe!
Reed, you will wear a GPRS patch on your uniform blouse, that's it. Joe, you are seriously missing an opportunity for a truly bold fashion statement that is why I am doing it.
Sir, I accept, Reed announced before Skippy could say anything else. Glancing at her tablet, she looked up.
The destroyers are decelerating to match speed with the Elder weapons. No sign of hostile actors in the area.
We have time, then. Do you want to hear the truth about how Skippy can remotely disable Elder weapons, among other secrets?
I'm ready.
You think you are, but you're not.
I told her everything. Well, almost everything. What she did not learn were secrets that were no longer useful, like the fact that Admiral Reichard and Red Section had not been responsible for waking up Sentinels. That particular lie had plunged the Maxalts into a vicious civil war and had kept them mostly too busy to cause trouble for humanity. With that war having ground to a bloody halt, there was no reason to reveal the truth, and a whole lot of reasons why that secret should stay with me. She also did not hear about the probability field, because I had promised Skippy not to ever tell anyone about that mind-blowing fact. Also because it likely no longer mattered, with the Elders safely in Ascension Land forever. She did learn some exciting, fun facts about how Skippy could not actually crash wormhole networks, and how the senior species did not have, and never did have, a reliable method of triggering their Elder weapons. Also, that when a senior species ship carrying Elder weapons passed through a wormhole, those weapons would be rendered unusable. By them, I mean. Skippy could still set them up so we could deploy the things. Hopefully we wouldn't be doing that again. By the time I finished the info dump, Reed had the look of a deer in the headlights, if the headlights were on the bow of a starship that was falling from orbit to splatter the deer and leave a mushroom cloud above a smoking crater.
Sims knows all this? She asked slowly, gears still turning in her head.
Except for the thing about disabling Elder weapons. That's a new bonus track for Skippy's Greatest Hits album.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to sleep for the next decade?
Skippy has some pills that help me. I didn't need sleeping pills the years while I was on Jaguar.
Reed, you do understand why we can't tell the Joint Chiefs that we have no reason to fear the seniors could hit us with Elder weapons.
Yes, she grimaced. Some politician sitting at a desk will eventually decide the galaxy would be a better place if humans were in charge.
We could replace the Maxalts as the asshole bullies of the galaxy. It's not only a moral issue for me. I just have a feeling that karma will bite us on the ass if we become the bad guys. What matters right now is we don't have to avoid a fight with the Maxalts. Unless we get into a fight in a star system where they have an armory with Elder weapons.
We should avoid doing that.
Sir, responding to the distress call here, was it a test of whether the wormholes really can disable Elder weapons?
I prefer to think of it as a proof-of-concept exercise.
Fireball, this could become a major problem for us.
Sir?
She blinked.
How? You just removed an item from the threat board.
Until today, the kiddies and their new best friend have been confident they could eliminate us by using strategic weapons. The hegemony just had to work up the nerve to do it and live with the consequences. Now, the outsider will know it can't rely on the Maxalts to take Skippy out of the fight. It tried an ambush in the quarantine zone. That didn't work either. Now it either has to give up or escalate the fight by bringing out the big guns.
Big guns like what?
I'm afraid to even think about it.
One thing I'm certain of is the outsider is never going to stop until we kill it.
How do we do that?
I'm going to be completely honest. I have no idea.
Skippy doesn't know whether it is even possible to kill the thing.
A chime sounded. She looked at her tablet.
All Elder weapons are secure. The destroyer squadron has jumped for the rendezvous point.
We should follow.
XO, she called on the intercom. Jump option Foxtrot. Punch it.
While the 7th Fleet flew back to Jaguar with 14 additional Elder weapons, Valkyrie lingered near Paradise for a short time. What I wanted to do was talk with the Burgermeister again, and with some old friends who were living on the southern continent of Lemuria. With the very likely prospect of a Maxalts battlegroup in the area, I couldn't risk exposing the ship, the crew, and mostly Skippy. So I settled for composing two messages to the Burgermeister. The first message was official, simply stating the facts she needed to know. Like the social disruption on Paradise had been collateral damage from our battle against the Outsider, and that I didn't expect her world to be targeted again. The second message was personal, though when the current mess was over, I would like to visit Paradise again, possibly with my family. We couldn't wait for a direct reply. I would get her message someday through a relay station or a Jaguar or Earth. Reluctantly, I ordered us to jump away toward a friendly relay station. During our breakfast status meeting, Reed pushed food around her plate, not eating any of it. We had been reviewing the daily status report, so I knew there wasn't anything going on with the ship she should be overly concerned about. "You're not hungry?" I asked. She waggled a hand. "I have something on my mind." "In that case," I reached over and took the two strips of bacon she hadn't touched. "No sense letting this go to waste?" I dropped my voice to a whisper. "Want to talk about it?" She nodded and drank the last gulp of coffee. "In my office? No rush, sir." 5 minutes later, having eaten oatmeal and whole grain toast along with the bacon, I arrived at her office. She closed the door after I sat down. "What's on your mind?" I asked. "Knowing secrets can be a double-edged sword, sir. Last night I had a dream that Valkyrie was defending a human colony from attack by... In my dream, the enemy were sort of teddy bears."
"Like Ewoks?"
"Scarier than Ewoks. The Ewoks killed, cooked, and ate people. That's pretty scary. They gave Princess Leia a dress to wear, which means they probably killed and ate the woman who owned that dress. They looked cute, but those little fuckers were vicious." She stared at me.
"This isn't about Ewoks, sir.